For this morning's reading, let's turn to the Gospel according to St. John and read from chapter number 20, beginning with verse number 19.
Brat je našao da se čita iz Božje reči iz Svetog Evanđelja po Jovanu, 20. glava, početak čitanja na 19. stihu. Po Jovanu, 20. glava.
Beginning with verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted to them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees. We have a time here in the history of mankind where is a unique time that Jesus Christ was crucified and resurrected, but yet he was not ascended yet. And so he was upon this earth in a bodily form that was resurrected, but yet he was still here upon this earth. And so it was very unique and a very special time. And Jesus made his appearances to certain few. And it was that to Mary, he made an appearance to, and then to the disciples as well. And this is where we're picking up the reading this morning, where Jesus is now revealing himself for the first time to his disciples. And what's common through this reading that we've had this morning is that there is a belief that Jesus is calling us to, that we would have this a strong and abiding belief in things that we cannot see in our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, even as the disciples were exhorted to have this belief. And so it was that these disciples were in a place where they were holed up. They were holed up in this room. The doors were shut. They had the fear of the Jews. Their leader, their Messiah, was crucified, and as far as they knew, he was in the tomb, and they didn't know what to do next. They were out of solutions. They had nowhere to turn. They had no resources of themselves. They had no solutions. And this is the point when their belief in Jesus Christ should have shown and would have an abiding faith that they could even have peace, even in during this time. And so it is in our lives as well, that as we consider this scripture this morning, that we would consider that when we are all out of solutions, when we don't have any more resources, we don't know where we can turn to anymore, that we would have that abiding faith and abiding belief in Jesus Christ, and that faith that we have in Him would work toward a peace in our hearts, that despite what's going on around about us and whatever circumstance it is that we are in, that we can have an abiding peace in Him. And so, as we walk in this faith, we would also serve in love and go forth and serve the Lord. And that's what it means simply to believe in the Lord, is that then we would go forth in a way that God would have us to go and live out the life that He wants us to live, that we would be Jesus Christ here upon this earth. That's what Jesus Christ is calling us to, that we would have that belief in Him, His peace would abide in us, and that we would go forth then being Jesus Christ, having His Spirit shine through us in this time that we have here upon this earth that we have been called to. And so Jesus here is appearing. They are in a shut room. The doors are shut, and they are holed up in here. And Jesus comes, and he stands in their midst, and He proclaims to them. The first thing He proclaims to them is not, "Why did you forsake me? Why did you deny me?" That wasn't what He said to them. The first thing He says to them as they see Him for the first time as He is resurrected is He says to them, "Peace be unto you." He knew what was going on in their hearts and in their minds and the fear perhaps that they had. He knew that what was in their hearts. And so the first declaration He makes to them is, "Peace be unto you." And as we go through life, And as we are challenged in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what we need is to have that peace. But we know that it is in Jesus Christ that we can have peace. In nothing else can we have peace. Nothing else. It is in Jesus Christ that we can have peace. And let's consider a few scriptures that speak to that peace that we have in Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was born in a manger, and He's lying there in flesh and blood, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts, and they made a proclamation, and all the people that were there, the shepherds and others were there, they saw and heard the proclamation that was made from the heavenly host. And the proclamation that was made was, "Glory to God, and on earth, peace." On earth, peace. Jesus Christ has come. And so we have to understand that peace came through Jesus Christ. And so again, this was a very difficult time for the disciples. They had spent a week of chaos where they were riding into, Jesus was riding into Jerusalem, and they were proclaiming hosannas to Him. And then there was a driving out of those robbers that were in the temple, and then there was the Last Supper, and there was the washing of the feet, and there was the arrest, and there was the crucifixion, and all these things that transpired, and this is all fresh in their minds. But before this time, immediately before, Jesus is speaking to them, and He's saying, "I need to go. And when I go, the Spirit will come." And when He says that to them, He says, "What I'm going to leave with you is peace." He said to His disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." And now He's addressing them for the first time, and He's saying to them, "Peace be unto you." We won't be able to go through this life in the trials and tribulations without having a peace in our hearts. It's the peace that we have in our hearts that are going to see us through the storms that we face. Very difficult storms that we may face. And that peace comes through having a belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so He continues on, and it says that He showed unto them His hands and His side. And it says, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They needed to see that. They were They were there in his presence, and they needed to see that in that they can testify. That they can testify later through in the Acts of the Apostles as they testified that they were witnesses to all these things and that they were going to proclaim these things that they had both seen and heard. And so as Jesus here, he's showing unto them his hands and his side, and this was that they might make that testimony, that they had seen the Lord, and that then we would believe that testimony that the apostles had when they said they had saw the Lord, and they were glad, and they rejoiced in this. And then Jesus says unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And so it was first the apostles that were sent out, and Jesus sent them out, and he's saying, I was sent from heaven to come here upon earth to take upon me flesh and blood, Jesus Christ, and that he would walk a sinless life, and that he would make the truth of God made known to all mankind, and that who would ever believe in him might have eternal life. And that was how Jesus was sent. And so just as Jesus was sent, now Jesus is saying, so send I you, in the same manner, go testify of the truth, witness to the truth. Those things that ye have heard and seen, testify to these things. Witness of them. Speak to all mankind, the Jews and to the Gentiles, of what God has done in sending his only begotten Son. And so he's saying to them, so send I you, in the same manner. And as the disciples did go out, and they made proclamation of the gospel, that charge continues on, that we are sent out as well. We are sent out as in our individual life circumstances, sent out to proclaim Jesus Christ, by both in word and in deed. And in some instances, when we are sent out, sometimes that's going to go well. Praise God for that. He gets all the glory. That's going to go well. Other times, it's not going to go so well. We'll have to suffer scorn. We'll have to lose our life for his. And it'll be very difficult. And sometimes there'll be no fruit from it, from our perspective. But we are sent out nonetheless. And we are to serve in love. That's what God wants of us, is to serve in love, to go forth and serve in love. We will gain the world when we go to them in a concern and a care and a compassion for their soul, to speak of to them in that manner. That's when we'll be effective for the Lord. And so the Bible also says here, then, when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. And so it was that the Holy Ghost was then given to the apostles. And it was just as Jesus had said, Lord, that when he would go away, that he would give unto them the Holy Ghost. And they can go forth in that comfort and in that peace and in that strength and in that power of the Holy Ghost. And so the Bible here continues and says that Thomas wasn't there when Jesus appeared to them in the first time. And it says then in verse number 25, and other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he saith unto them, except I shall see in his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And so Thomas is making this declaration. He's saying, I need to see and I need to feel. And when I see and when I feel, I touch it, then I'll believe. Thomas needed the evidence of things not seen. Thomas was tempted to not believe in Jesus Christ, that he had been raised. But here, what happened here is that the this, well, in the next verse it says, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. And so the circumstances on the second time were no different. The doors were shut, they were all gathered together, and Jesus arrives and he says, peace be unto you. The circumstances were the same from the first time to the second time. The first time, Thomas wasn't there, but the power was there, and they believed. The second time, the power was there, and because Thomas then saw it, then he believed. And so we're tempted. We're tempted not to believe. We are tempted to not to serve in love. We are tempted to walk by sight and not by faith. And so Jesus, in his great compassion, he says to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it through my side, and be not faithless but believing. He's telling Thomas, if you need to, now you can see me. Now you can see and you can touch. And he tells him, don't be faithless, but believe. Believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, even as he told them that he would be resurrected. And Thomas's response is, now he believes, and he says, my Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And that's us. That's us here today. We have not seen the risen body of Jesus Christ. We have not touched the nail prints in his hands, but yet we believe. And Jesus Christ here is saying, Thomas, you saw and you felt, and now you believe. But Jesus is saying, we are blessed, and truly we are blessed when we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he has risen from the dead and that he shed his blood for the remission of our sins, that when we believe these things, we are blessed. Our lives are fully blessed, and we rejoice in what God has done for us. Whatever our circumstances and whatever our lot in this life is, we can rejoice and have peace in our hearts that Jesus Christ has died and resurrected, and that we can have faith in that and have life because of that. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. The intent of the Gospels was not to document every deed that was done by Jesus Christ. The intent of the Gospel was not to clearly expound on every miracle that was done. That was not the intent of the gospel. The intent of the gospel was that enough miracles were included that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's the intent of the gospels. And so John writes that here in his gospel, and he's saying, these are written, these things are written. We can see that Jesus Christ appeared to the apostles. We can see that Jesus Christ had done many miracles, and certainly he did more than what was recorded. But these are sufficient that we would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so, we have this assurance, and we have this truth that when we believe, we will have life. And the Bible records that. And it's not so much just a belief that when things are going well and we believe that that's counted as a blessing toward us, but it's when things are really, really difficult in our lives and we're going through some circumstances that are very, very tough and we realize we no longer have any solutions to bring to the issues of our life, that when we believe, that will be granted unto us, that we would then have a peace about whatever it is. And so what is it that we believe to? What is it that believing in Jesus Christ, what does that bring? Well, that brings eternal life. And that is far more important than any other aspect of life. No other aspect is more important than that we might have the hope of eternal life, that assurance that we will be with him forever because of what he has done for us, because the love and the blessings that he has shown unto us. We will have that. We will have that that assurance and that hope of life eternal. And so that's believing in Jesus Christ gives us that we would have that blessed hope, that blessed assurance of eternal life. But in terms of what it is in this life, that what we might go through is just a simple assurance that peace will be given unto us. Because again, peace was given to on earth by Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ told his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you." And so whatever it is in this life that we might have to go through and experience, we know that his peace is there and it's available. And so if we have a prayer upon our heart that God would provide something for us, and he gives it to us, glory be to God. But if we have a prayer upon our heart and we want God to give that unto us, and he does not give that unto us, glory be to God, and he will provide the grace and the peace to go through whatever it is that we may deem to be lacking. We may pray for a spouse. God may not give us a spouse, but God will give us grace. He'll give us peace in the hours of loneliness that we may have. We may pray for a job, and that good job may not come, but God will provide grace and peace to supply us peace through our hours of need. God does this for us. God does this for us. And so let's consider some scriptures here of what Jesus says here about having this abiding faith in him as he provides this for us. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." I want to back up a verse also and read verse number 24 of chapter 5. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And so Jesus here is being very explicit and very clear. He's saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," when we believe on Jesus, on God, we have everlasting life. That's where our belief is going to take us, is to everlasting life. That's the comfort that we have in God's word, that when we believe on him that sent Jesus, we have everlasting life. And we will not come to condemnation, but we will be passed from death unto life. And so that's what Jesus here says. And so we also often want to consider, what is it that we might work? What is it that we might do that we might have eternal life? And Jesus says to that question, his response is, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." Believe on Jesus Christ. Believe on him whom he hath sent, and this is the work of God, and we will have eternal life by our belief that we have in Jesus Christ. And so, disciples here, the apostles were exhorted to believe. We are also being exhorted to believe in that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. We're going to be tempted. And the Bible says that our faith is as our shield to ward off the fiery darts of the enemy. Our faith is going to be that shield. And so again, that's a great tool that we have of our belief in Jesus, who can do all things. And the reason we have faith, that is the reason we have faith in God, is because with him, all things are possible. We don't have a faith in something that has limited capacity or in someone who has limited capacity. We have a faith in God who can do all things. The Bible clearly says that with him, nothing shall be impossible. God can do all things. When we don't have solutions, when we don't have any abilities, God does. God does. And that is the reason that we can have faith in him. There's a beautiful verse that we can consider, and surely there are many verses that we can consider of having this abiding faith in Jesus Christ, that knowing that when we walk by faith and serve in love, by his grace, we will have eternal life. And that just carries us through and gives us peace in all things, that that whatever comes our way, we can have this peace in him. Peter experienced all these things. The Apostle Peter had a closeness with the Lord. He saw his transfiguration. He was able to walk on water. He had the experience of denying the Lord and being told that he would deny, and he had many, many experiences in his time that he spent with Christ. And then, so after all of these experiences, he writes in his epistle that he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. This is a summation, so to speak, of what Peter had experienced. Peter the apostle, all these things that he had spoken, that he had seen and been witness to, and that he testified of, and all that he experienced, he says that he said that he that believeth on Christ shall not be confounded. We will not be confounded when we believe on Jesus Christ. We will not be confounded, because we will know that in him lies all power and he has the ability to do all things, and so we will not be confounded. That is how Peter was able to sleep in a prison on the eve of his execution, when he was supposed to be executed. That's how he was able to sleep in the prison. He knew in the morning that James was beheaded, and so he knew the same fate would probably be his. But he was able to sleep. Why? Because he then had an abiding faith, a belief in Jesus Christ, that with him all things are possible, and whatever was going to transpire, it was all in his hands. And so he had a peace, and he was able to sleep. May it be in our lives that as we go through great trials and great tribulations, difficult matters, matters that are far beyond our abilities to address, may we just simply have that abiding faith in him, that some way, somehow, God is going to make a way, and through our belief in him, ultimately, we will have eternal life. Amen. That we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life through his name. This is the reason the gospel was written, that we would have life through believing in his name. We need to be sincere in the belief that we have. There was one who had a son who the disciples couldn't heal the son. And the father cried out to Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion and heal my son. And Christ responded and said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the father responded and said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And if we have that attitude in our lives that, yes, we believe, we know the Bible to be true. We know that what Jesus Christ has spoken is true. We know that belief through his name, we can have eternal life. But then there are those moments that we are tempted in our belief that we have in him. And our response to God in those times is, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. We need to be sincere about our faith in the Lord. Because God knows our hearts. Jesus knew Thomas, and not only what he said, but what was in his heart. God knows us too. And if there are lapses that we have in our belief in Jesus Christ, let's confess that to God. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. In Mark's gospel, as just before Jesus ascended and was going back to the Father, he gives one last exhortation to the apostles. And he says to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We all have a self-will. And Jesus here responds and says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But those who will not, it says, but he that believeth not shall be damned. There are no other exceptions. There are no exceptions to that. If we believe and are baptized, we shall be saved. May God grant us grace thereto. Amen.